Good morning. In the book of Exodus, it discusses the tabernacle, which is one of our focuses that we're going to look at today. But in the tabernacle, there was only really four pieces of furniture. The Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant stayed in the Holy of Holies. But then there were three other pieces of furniture that set out in the tabernacle. The first was the altar of incense, and that's where they would go, and there would be a constantly burning incense before the Lord. That sat outside of the Holy of Holies. And then there was a lampstand that looked something like this, And then there was a table of what's called table of presence. And the priest would have to regularly bring bread and put it on the table. And they would also have to make sure that the lampstand stayed lit. Now, the tabernacle actually wasn't very much larger than this room right here. And so it wasn't a huge, elaborate building, but it was just very, very simple. But all of the furniture was made by master craftsmen, and the Bible gives specific instructions on how they were to be made. Specific dimensions, specific oil that was to be used. It was very, very specific as far as what they were to do with these pieces of furniture. And in Exodus 25:30, it says, "And you shall set the bread of presence on the table before me regularly." So there was the golden table that was created that looked something like this, except it was golden. And it was designed to hold the bread. And the golden table was created to specifically do that. And in the holy bread of presence that we see in 1 Samuel 21:4 was to remind the people of something. The bread was made fresh daily, and God does not need bread, nor were they necessarily bringing the bread so that he could do something with it. The bread was there for another purpose. The bread was there to remind the people of something. And it was God's provision for them, that God provided what they needed. And so this morning, if you're here and you have a need, and every single person in this room has some type of need, God is the one that's going to provide that need. God is the one that's going to take care of you or carry you through whatever it is that you're going through. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, he is there to provide you the only way of salvation. So he's there. The bread was there to remind them of that. And in Exodus 25:31, it says, "And you shall make a lampstand of pure gold." And so there are only three pieces of furniture. That was one. In Exodus 27:20, it says, "You shall command the people of Israel that they bring to you pure beaten olive oil for the light, and the lamp may giveth be set up to burn." In verse 21, "In the tent of meeting, outside the veil, there is to be before you the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall tend it from everything from evening until morning before the Lord, and it shall be a statement forever to the observed, to be observed throughout the generations by the people of Israel." And so the light in the room was to display or show light on the bread of presence. That's very important that you get this morning before we move forward, is that if you were a priest and you come into the tabernacle and you see the lamp, your goal is to make sure that those lights, lamps stay lit so that you could see the bread of presence. In other words, it was to remind the God's people that God is the one that provides everything that they need, and that if the priest let those lamps go out, the people will forget that. So the goal during the evening or during the nighttime was to make sure that those lamps stayed lit all the time, and to make sure that the bread was always there and that it was fresh daily. They would set it out. Now, in the book of Revelation, the church is described as a lampstand. Jesus is talking to the Apostle John, and he tells the story in Revelation 1:19, where it says, "Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to be to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw on my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." So we see this picture in the early part of the Bible of a lampstand showing that God provides all that God's people need. And then in the end of God's word, we see a lampstand described as the church. So we could and follow that throughout Scripture, but the big idea is that the church is the lampstand. The church is the light that shines forth to remind, to make sure we stay focused, that God provides what we need. Now, before we jump into specifically our outline for today, I'd like for us just to pray. Would you join me? Jesus, help us to understand who we are as a church. Help us to understand what we are to do. Help us to understand what happens if we do not do what you have called us to do. Help us to remember the color yellow and that we are to illuminate you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you open up your program, your bulletin, the first thing you're going to see in our outline is that the church, the lampstand has been strategically placed. The lampstand has been strategically placed. Have you ever noticed that the church, the lampstand of Christ, has the tendency to focus on the wrong things? Light is so powerful, but we use it to fulfill our own agendas, our own selfish plans, and things that we believe should be done in a particular way. So if we don't like someone, this is generally how we tend to think of our light. Now remember, we are the light of the world. We're to go forth and shine forth the light, and we're supposed to be focusing on something. And generally, this is a tactical flashlight. It's like a police flashlight, and it has this extremely powerful beam in it, like shoots a mile away. And this is generally what we do with our flashlight. And instead of doing this, you know, my job is to point to Christ, to point to Jesus. I generally tend to do this, Matt. I don't like you. I don't like what you're doing. And so I'm going to shine my light in your face, and I'm going to show you how you're wrong. And the Bible says this. Now, at this point, is he thinking about Jesus? No, he's thinking about how much he doesn't like me at this moment, right? But that's what we do. We take this powerful light that we have, and we shine it in people's faces as if to interrogate them or to show them that their view is wrong and that how they're living is wrong. But that is not to be what we're supposed to be using this light for. We're to use the light of the gospel. We're to use the light that's within us to point to the bread of presence, which is God's provision. God provides everything that we need. We're to point people to Him. But we get distracted. We tend to focus on the wrong things. Now, Drew, are you a Republican? Drew, are you a Democrat? Because what I think about you really changes when you answer that question. Drew, what do you think about Halloween? What's your view on homosexuality? Drew, what about homeschooling? What about public schooling? What about? Now, my first priority, or the Bible clearly teaches on these topics and how you come down on these different things. I believe it's very clear, but I must not allow my focus to be moved from Christ. In other words, my first priority is not to show someone how they're wrong. It's not to point out, this is why I think this is right. Here's where you're wrong. And here's what you're doing that's incorrect. That's not my first priority. My first priority is to point them to Christ. I have opinions on all these views and these topics, but I will not allow my opinion to move my focus, which is why you won't hear me talk about those things very often. I'm talking about homeschooling or other types of issues, Republican versus Democrat, all these different things that you come to me, and that's the first conversation that we have. I'm not going to go there with you. My first conversation with you is going to be going toward Jesus. Well, let's talk about Him. Let's talk about what He said on these things. Now, if Jesus is all-powerful, and He does radically change a person's heart, shouldn't we point people to Him and not try to change their mind on some peripheral issue? We generally get stuck on these peripheral issues. We go, what do you think about this? Oh, I don't like you. What do you think about this? Well, in order for you to come to church, in order for you to be a good Christian, you have to believe these things. You have to hold to these things. And I'm not talking about the authority of Scripture, and I'm not talking about Christ's resurrection. I'm not talking about the foundational. I'm talking about these other peripheral issues that, well, obviously you're not a good Christian because you believe those things. If Jesus does radically change people, if we point them to Him first, He takes care of all those details. But we want to fix them. We want to fix those problems, and so we get too focused on that. And when the lampstand is moved away from Christ, which happens, our influence is weakened because Christ is no longer the focus. And I just want to show you that. I want you to get a mental image of that. Can we turn the lights back down? What is the lampstand's point? Why does it exist? Come on, yell it out. To show the bread of presence, right? You can see the bread because the lampstand's here. But if I move the lampstand, you can still see it because of projection, but just work with me, okay? Thank you. The bread no longer is in focus. Who's in focus right now? Let's just point her out. It's Miss Stacy. it with our dripless candles. But Miss Stacy's the focus. And so if she takes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do this to you, but if Stacy becomes the focus of her life and Stacy goes, it's all about me, right? And all the light of the world and the gospel and salvation and transformation and power and prayer, all those things are about me, right? Jesus is out of focus and he's lost. With the whole point of what Stacy lives for, because she's been saved and as a Christian, is to point people to Jesus. So we have to pick up the lampstand and move the lampstand back to the focus, which is the priest's job in the Old Testament was to make sure, you can bring the lights back up, thank you, is to make sure that the lights stay focused on the things that they need to stay focused on. They need to make sure the lights are lit so that it can stay focused and that people can be reminded that it's about Christ. It's about God's provision. It's about God. But we lose that focus. We tend to get drawn off topic. We begin to focus on things that really aren't about Jesus, but more about what we think on things and how we feel. And it's about us. It becomes about us and our comfort and us. It's just all about us. But it becomes so much harder for people to see what God really is like if they have to see him through our filter. If they have to jump over our political views to get to him. And if they duck under our view on some kind of family issue. And then they have to step over all of these obstacles that we put in between God and them. But if we start with Jesus, it's all about him. I'm going to put my agenda and my thing, I'm just going to put all those things on the side, and instead, I'm going to focus on what you really need is Jesus. But the lampstand being moved is nothing new. It's nothing new. It's not like I'm coming up with this off and I'm all that original. If you go to Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, it says this. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. And when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." And Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, we know what they say. And they said to him, "We only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. In other words, that's not possible. Look at all these people. Look at the little bread that we have. It's not possible. Now we know the rest of the story, that Jesus went on to take those 5 loaves and 2 fish and multiply them out, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people were fed. We go, wow, that's awesome. Look at Jesus. Look what he did amongst them. And if you were to kind of go back to that, you would say, if you were to look at us, some people may say regarding Daybreak, we're just a small church. What can we possibly do to reach all of these people in Frederick County for Christ? There's so many people. We're so little. There's so many. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough people. We simply can't do this. It's impossible. Send them home. Send them somewhere else. Because we just can't handle it. Now, Jesus went on to perform a miracle in the Matthew chapter 14. He fed thousands of people. But now, take your Bible and flip one page over to the next chapter. Chapter 15. Chapter 14, he feeds thousands of people. Flip the page, and it says, Matthew 15, verse 32. Then Jesus called to his disciples to him, and he said, "I have compassion on the crowd because they've been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat." You're starting to smile, right? I know this. I just saw this. Jesus already done this. "And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way." And the disciples said to him, "Where are we going to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd?" One chapter later, the exact same scenario. Jesus says, "How are we going to feed all these people, guys?" "I don't know. There's so many of them. Jesus had just fed thousands of people before them. Thousands. He just performed the miracle. And they come right back to the same place of, it's impossible for us to feed all these people. It's just not going to work. Now, here's... did something with my... yeah. Here's the deal. Here's my halogen flashlight. We're to do this. It's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what He's going to do. It's all about His plan. It's all about His power. It's all about His provision. It's all about Him. But we tend to go, Drew, I want you to feed 5,000 people. Jesus, all I got is the bread. I can't do this. There's no way I'm going to be able to accomplish this. It's impossible. I quit. I'm done. Right? I'm out of here. It's what I probably would have said as the disciple. But he goes, here's what we have to do. In your mind, you have to do this mentally for it to work. Take the flashlight that you have shined on you and do this. You have to mentally do that and ask yourself, where is my life focused on me? Where is it focused on Christ? And mentally make that change to where I'm not focused on myself any longer. You know what I would love? I would love to see Jesus do this miracle a third time. Right? Turn one chapter over. No, not really. But just one chapter over. Chapter 16, perhaps. And it says something like this. And they came to downtown after Jesus had taught them along Carroll Creek all day. And there were many who were hungry, around 5,000. Right? And then Jesus said to daybreak, you feed them. And they said... and he said, absolutely. They said, we recognize that we can't do this, but Lord, you surely can. You've already done it twice. This is no problem for you to do this. And so we say, it's not about how powerful we are. It's not about how smart we are. It's not about how much money we have in our wallet or our account. It's not about our influence. It's not about our education. It's not about on and on. It's not about us. It's not what we can do. It's what Christ can do. What can Christ do amongst us? Anything He wants. But we have to come to that realization of saying, it's not about me and what I'm doing, what I have, what I can do. It's what Christ can do. Daybreak has been strategically placed as a lampstand in Frederick County, Maryland. We have been strategically placed. That's why we exist, is to shine the light of Christ into the world, to focus on Jesus. Now, our role is simple, to turn on a light. It's very simple what our role is. What we do is this idea of we are to illuminate, we're to shine. We also must be intentional about keeping the lampstand in its place. It says the priests in the Old Testament. Drew, that's your job. No. Do you know who the priests are in the New Testament? The believers. You are a priest. You are an ambassador. It's your responsibility to make sure that the lamp stand, the light, you stay focused, the church, on Jesus. What is it in your life that is moving this lampstand? What is it that is keeping you, that's really becoming the focus? What is it that's really consuming your thoughts and your passions and your time and your money and all of those things? What is it that's consuming all of that? It's really only two options, Jesus or something else. C.S. Lewis once said, the church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christs. If they are not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose. So Daybreak exists to point people to Jesus. That's why we're here. The church in Ephesus is mentioned in Revelation chapter 2, verse 3. It says, I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake. They're being persecuted. They're bearing up. They're working hard. And you have not grown weary, but I have this against you. The church in Ephesus was a dynamic, great church in that they were working hard. They were bearing up. They were doing the Bible studies. They were doing those things. But he says, I have this against you, that you have forgotten your, I like the NIV version, your first love. But the ESV here says, you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. For we must have the courage to turn from our sin and to become bold lighthouses for Christ. You must illuminate. You must shine for Jesus. You must. There's no option. If we're to be faithful in doing the things that Christ has called us to do, we must shine. We must be yellow in that we illuminate. Every warning that God gives these seven churches, Ephesus is one of those seven, was because the churches were losing their influence on the culture around them. They were losing their effectiveness as God's light to communicate to the communities. They were becoming dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. God has strategically placed the church in culture in order to show himself to the world. How are you being a light to other people? Also, how do we know if the lampstand has been moved? That's our second question. Sometimes it's hard to realize that the lampstand's been moved because it moves like this. A little bit, by a little bit, by a little bit. And then 6 months later, it's over here. 3 years later, it's over here. But we don't realize it because it's a little bit, by a little bit, by a little bit. How do you know if the lampstand's been moved? Look down. No, not really, but if you're there and you're at the lampstand, when you look down, you should see the bread of presence. You should see Christ. You should see God. You should see His provision. You should see Him moving in your life. We should see people being drawn to the light. That's what we should see. When we look down, what do we see? If people are coming to know Jesus and people are coming to faith in Him and things are moving and it's rocking, then let us rejoice. If you and your family are praying together and you're saying, how can we bring people to church, and here's some people that we can invite, and here's our neighbors, and we've been praying for them, and if those things are moving in your house and God's presence is really growing, then rejoice. That's awesome. But if it's not, then we need to repent and turn from that behavior and say, I need to get back. I need to get the lampstand back where it needs to go. Because right now in my life and in our family's life, it's not really focused on Jesus. It's focused on me. So let's move the lampstand back where it needs to be. Otherwise, he might blow it out. That's what he says. So how do you know if it's not there? John 12, verse 32 says, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. We are to illuminate the forgiveness and love of Jesus through His Son. And when we do this, the church becomes irresistible. Is our church irresistible? Light communicates comfort and warmth and healing. It gives direction and hope so that we can see better. We can understand more. The problem then becomes, what is the light focused on? Not only can the lampstand be moved, but it can also be divided. Right? These little candles, not only does the whole church focus and things also tend to move, but also the individual candles, lamps, become moved. That's where we become not unified, ununified in what we're about. Well, Drew, I think we should be focused on this. This is what we need to be about, way over here. This is what we need to focus on, Drew. And then off you go. And then someone else grabs their candle and they go, you know what? This is what's important. This is what we must focus on. And you hold your light. And then somebody else takes their candle their light, and they go someplace else. And before you know it, this great light, this lampstand that casts so much light and focus, suddenly becomes a diffused light. It's the difference between a halogen spotlight and some kind of filtered, diffused light. Like you go into it and it's really dim, like a little bit of light spread out everywhere. It's diffused. And then what's it about? I don't know. We just lose everything. So not only can it be moved, but it can be divided. Now, Ephesians 4:1 says, "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, and with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." That's a big one. Don't want me to repeat it? Let me go back. "I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, which you've been called." We know we need to live a certain way because people are watching us and we are an example of Christ. We know that. "But with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." Not like this. Dude, you are wrong. Stop. That's part of it, but that's not exactly the love I'm talking about. Instead, we focus on just minutiae, just the unimportant stuff. We lose our focus. Instead, if we would just take this and join it with all the others, our light becomes much more powerful. It goes on to say, verse 3, "Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. Paul is teaching us that we are to be about illuminating the way to Jesus is far more important than individual squabbles. That focus of showing people and pointing people to Christ is more important than any other minor squabbles we may have amongst ourselves. Do you understand that? Do you get that? That this idea that, okay, so-and-so and I may have had this little skirmish, this little friction, and we might be working through it, or we might be ticked off at each other. If that's the focus, then we are not unified in what we're trying to do. The idea of sharing the gospel and drawing people to Him is of far more importance. It's of eternal importance than these little squabbles that we have amongst ourselves. Do we have that? I don't think so. That's not the point that I'm trying to say. But the point is, if you allow yourself to get sucked into these little squabbles and misunderstandings, and we lose that focus. Don't allow that to happen. And actually, it says, to eager to maintain the unity. They're eager to maintain it. It's not going to just happen. You have to actually do something about it. We must be unified, eagerly maintaining behind how we are going to reach Frederick County for Christ. We have to understand that that must be our focus. If the lampstand is in place and the church is unified and illuminating Christ, then He will grow the church. We don't have to say, well, how are we going to do this? What are we going to do? How? It's not about us. It's about Him and focusing people toward Him. Filmmaker Walt Disney was ruthless in cutting anything that got in the way of the story's pacing. So you may have seen Snow White. Well, there was this one guy named Ward Kimball who worked for Snow White for 240 days. 240 days on a 4.5 second, no, it's a 4.5 minute little cartoon segment of Snow White. They sat down after 240 days of this guy slaving over creating this animation, and he goes, you know what, it just doesn't flow, we got to cut it. And Ward Kimmel goes, you know what, you're right. As it doesn't flow with the story of Snow White, it's got to go. 240 days of this guy's work is now on the cutting room floor. They were passionate about a cartoon. They wanted to create something that was of great quality, but guys, at the end of the day, it's a cartoon. We have the gospel. We have Jesus. There's nothing else like it. It's a unique product. It's awesome. God came from heaven to this planet to share this story with us. And then he says, now you go and tell other people. That's what it's all about. Are we willing to give up 240 days of something, something that we have really put our heart and our life and our passion, and we really gave it a lot of thought, and at the end of the day, if Jesus is saying, this does not jive, this does not go with what we're trying to do, are you willing to go, you know what, you're absolutely right. This part of my life, even though it is very precious to me and I've spent a lot of time, it's got to go because it's taking away from what we've been called to do. Sometimes we have to really evaluate what's it all about, what's the big picture, and if this is taking us away from that, then it has to go. Are we willing to do that in our own lives and in our own hearts and in our own, you know, are we willing to give up the things in our life that really keep us from the gospel? Are we willing to give up things that keep other people from the gospel? As a church, we must stay focused on how we are to point people to Christ in Frederick County and around the world. And please get your connection cards out, if you would. Because I want to encourage you to do something here in just a second. But before you do that, I want you to hang on to it. Now I want us to pray. So if you could just join me in prayer. Jesus, we understand that our focus as a church, our calling, our what we are to do is to be a light in our communities, our homes, on our streets. You have strategically placed us there to be a light on our street. You've put us all over Frederick County to be lights in Frederick County. We don't all live on the same street. We don't all live in the same neighborhood. We don't all live in the same house. Lord, you have strategically placed us all around. But Lord, somewhere along the way, we might have forgotten that focus. And Lord, that somehow we now are shining the light on us, my life, my problems, my marriage, my kids, my. That's what our focus is. Lord, I pray that in these upcoming moments, that you will help us to turn that around and to say, Lord, it's all about you. It's all about what you can do. And so, Lord, church, I would like for you just to take a couple of moments to just pray and say, Lord, where is it in my life that I have gotten distracted? Where have I stopped focusing and calling people and pushing people toward Jesus? Your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. So, Lord, we repent. We turn from that. We ask for your forgiveness. And we pray this in your precious Son's name. Amen.